Prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2. I'm reading from the New International Version and beginning our reading in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. This is what Isaiah son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Chapter 4 and verse 2. "In that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion who remain in Jerusalem will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and rain." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that this great message of the prophet may leap forth from the page of Scripture to touch our hearts and to move us to walk in the light of the Lord this day. We ask this blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week has been a momentous week in respect to world affairs. The whole world has been looking to Moscow as the leader of our nation, President Reagan, and the leader of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, have been meeting together in consultation relative to the tensions that exist between the East and the West. And although no great and final matters came out of that summit meeting, on the other hand, I think all of us were encouraged that the leaders of the nations were talking together instead of throwing word bombs at one another. As the summit came to an end, Gorbachev said, "Soviet-American relations have moved one rung, maybe two rungs up the ladder." He also said that we have dealt a blow to the nations of the Cold War. The treaty to eliminate that class of nuclear weapons, quotes, "means that the era of nuclear disarmament has begun." And these leaders and many others are hopeful that we are on the verge of peace amongst the nations of the world. This morning I'm not a doomsday speaker or a gloomy and pessimistic person, but I trust and pray that we will continue to see a relaxing of the tensions that exist. But on the other hand, in reading God's Word, I know that wars will continue, tensions will continue among the nations until the coming of the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, our message, Peace on Earth, does not relate to the summit conferences just concluded, but it relates rather to the coming of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you picked up an outline sheet this morning, you will notice that in the end times, Jerusalem will be the center of world attention. Not Moscow, not Washington, not Tokyo, but Jerusalem. Jerusalem. This is what Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Keep that clear in your minds. Judah and Jerusalem. The Israeli nation and Jerusalem, the capital of that nation. We're not talking about the church. We're not talking about Christianity. We're talking about Israel and Jerusalem. The time clearly stated. In the last days. Throughout the Bible, this expression is repeated. In the last days. In the last days. It is a prophetic word in respect to chronology. It is used in a general sense, and its interpretation and specific application must be determined by the particular passage in which it is found, but it is always, always, Christ has come. But more usually, the expression the last days refer to the last period of time just before the coming of the King, the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this prophecy has to do with the days just prior to the coming of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. The message that is stated before us in the burden of the prophecy here by Isaiah is simply this, that in the end times of this world history, Jerusalem will be preeminent among the cities of the world. Israel will be at the head of the nation. The Lord's temple on Mount Zion will be established chief among the mountains, raised above the hills. Again and again in the prophecy of Isaiah, we have that emphasis on the preeminence of Israel, Jerusalem, and the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in the end times. In chapter 25, verse 6, it says, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces." And again in Isaiah chapter 65, I'm just picking out two or three of these prophecies in Isaiah, which again relate to the mountain of the Lord, to Israel and to Jerusalem. And it says in chapter 65 and in verse 25, "The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." The last chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and verse 20. "They will bring all your brothers from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord, as all peoples move toward the center of the world at that time, the little nation of Israel, and the city of Jerusalem." In verse 3 in our chapter 2, we see what will happen. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." The end of verse 2 says, "All nations will stream to it." It will be the center, and people will move toward this place where the administration, not only of planet Earth, but of the whole universe, will be conducted by the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. They will be pouring towards, streaming into the city of Jerusalem. Just as on a Sunday night at this time of the year, especially in July and August, you better stay away from New York City, because all the people that have left the city for the weekend will be streaming back to the city of New York in order for another, get ready for another work week. So it will be in that day, the nations of the world will stream and move toward Jerusalem. They will not only move toward Jerusalem as a body of people because it is the administrative center of the world, but because they desire instruction from the Lord. Notice it says in verse 3, as they go towards Jerusalem, He, Jehovah, the Lord, will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths. They want to know the Word of God. They want to know the Word of God that they may do what God wishes them to do. They want to be taught in order so they can walk in the ways of the Lord. And interestingly, not only do the mass of people move to this administrative teaching center of the world, but from that center, notice the end of verse 3, the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Here we have the center of God's activity on planet Earth in the last days. Many will be moving to Jerusalem to hear the word of the Lord, that they may walk in the ways of the Lord, and the word of God will be published and sent forth to the ends of the world from the little village, the little nation of Israel. Interestingly, as we read in the first chapters of the Bible, the nations of the world got together in a city called Babel, and God confused their languages and scattered them over the face of the earth because they were seeking to establish earth's government apart from God. They were raising themselves independently from the Lord, and God scattered them among the nations of the world. And today, we are a scattered people in strife, in war, and in animosity, nation against nation. But in that time, the nation of the world will stream back to one city where God will unite and bring together peoples who have been alienated by sin. How's this all going to come about? Why will Jerusalem be the preeminent nation in the world in that day? Because of the presence of the branch. In chapter 4 and verse 2, we have an unusual title for the Messiah. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. And if it's not capitalized in your Bible, I suggest it might well be capitalized. And the fruit, capital F, the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. The Messiah will be the branch of the Lord. He will be the fruit of the land. Now this unusual title of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, speaks forth, first of all, His deity. He is the branch of the Lord. He is one who has come forth from the very throne of God. But His humanity is declared, if you'll turn to chapter 11 in Isaiah, a shoot will come up, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was the name of the father of David. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. And from His roots, out of the ground, out of the earth, His human origins, and from His roots a branch will bear fruit, the branch who is the fruit of the land. So His deity, He is the branch of the Lord. His humanity, He is one who comes up from the root of Jesse, one whose human genesis is from the nation of Israel, from the tribe of Judah, from the family of David, from the family of Jesse. This is who He is. What will He be doing? Why does He return to planet Earth? He returns to planet Earth to exercise the authority and dignity of God over this earth that He has created. Notice it says in chapter 4 and in verse 2, He will be beautiful and glorious. He will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. The Lord comes back not as a rejected Savior, but the Lord, the Messiah, comes back as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. Turn with me in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 23, to another passage that speaks of the branch. We find throughout the Old Testament this title of Messiah reoccurring again and again. Notice, please turn with me in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 23 and in verse 5. The days are coming. They will be the last days. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David, the family of David, the kingly family, the royal tribe of Judah, the nation of Israel, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah, Israel, the nation, in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Who is he? He is Messiah, the one who is Son of God, the one who is Son of Man. What will he do? He will return to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and in that day, the nation of Israel will repent and turn to him, and his blessed reign will extend over this entire earth. I want to skip down in your outline, if you have it in front of you, to what you have as number 4 on your outline. I'd like to make that my third point this morning. Not only do we have the preeminence of Jerusalem, and that is because the king has returned and reigns, but I want to notice thirdly that he brings about the purification of the faithful, the regeneration of the nation of Israel. Today, and I've visited Israel twice now, as you go to Israel, you find the people, many people have returned, although there are still more Jewish people outside of Israel than within the nation, but they are not a regenerate nation. They are not a nation that acknowledges Jehovah as their God in the spiritual sense. They're a nation that has given up the messianic hope of the Old Testament of which we speak. They're a nation that has done away with the personal concept of Messiah. They are a nation that is in unbelief. But God will bring that nation, or I should say a remnant of that nation, unto himself. Notice chapter 4 now and verse 3. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem. So many of the nation will be destroyed during that final period of time, but those who are left, those who remain, those who are recorded in the book of the living, God's book of life, they will be called holy. Those who were sinners will be made right. Those who were defiled will be cleansed. Those who are unbelievers will become believers. They will be made holy and right and just and cleansed by the Lord himself. How does he do that? Verse 4 tells us, the Lord, Jehovah, the branch, the king, will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem. Now notice, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. God will bring about cleansing for a defiled people. He will bring regeneration for a people that is spiritually dead. He will bring this nation unto himself through the process of judgment and fire. References here made to the terrible period of time that will just precede the coming of the king, a period of time that is known as the Great Tribulation. During that period of time, a remnant of the nation of Israel will repent of their sin and turn in faith to Jesus as their Messiah and will be cleansed from their defilement by the cleansing power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you about that. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 12. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On that day I will banish the names of idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. Listen to what Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament, says in chapter 2 and in verse 2. Chapter 3, I beg your pardon, and verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, so in former year, as in the former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. So the Lord will bring about through a purging process, the process by which he brings the nation of Israel to himself, and ultimately the nations of the world in that last time, is a period of judgment and affliction and tribulation. And out of that great trouble, people will realize that they have rebelled against God, and in the midst of that trouble and tribulation, they will turn to the Messiah and be cleansed by him. Listen to what the scripture says. Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Who are they? These who have come out of the great tribulation, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So through a terrible time in earth's history, Jesus said, a time of great affliction, that there was never such a time before that, nor ever will there be such a time after that, out of that time of tremendous pressure, and tremendous warfare, and tremendous plague and want of every kind upon little planet Earth, a people will come to God in repentance and faith and be cleansed through the precious blood of Jesus. And that's how you're cleansed. That's how you're made right. That's how you're brought into the blessing of God today. Perhaps there's someone here and things have been going in a very difficult manner in your life. There's been pressure. There's been things that you can't handle. Out of this time of extreme pressure and difficulty, there's a loving and gracious God who is allowing those things to happen so that you may know that you need Him. You're out of control. You need someone to bring you blessing and comfort and wholeness and forgiveness and cleansing and purpose and reality in your life and out of that tribulation of your life today. There's a God who will cleanse you from your sin as you repent and turn in faith to the Lamb who shed His blood upon the cross for you. And so as this people are repentant and place their faith in Messiah Jesus and are regenerate, then the King comes and establishes His throne upon the earth. And the result of that is peace amongst the nations. That for which the nations search for today, that for which the nations consult together for today, that for which the nations bargain together today at the nuclear bargain table, that then will be the portion of mankind. Listen, He will judge between the nations. Total justice will prevail because the King who is righteous will sit upon the throne. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Total justice. Problems resolved. Not by the military might in the field. Not by throwing nuclear bombs at one another. Problems will be resolved because the King of Kings, the righteous King, the King of wisdom and discernment, will sit upon the throne. And then the problems of this world will be untangled and resolved. Then they will have no more need of military might. Then they will no longer train for war. Then they can turn the military industrial complex over to the process of agricultural and peaceful pursuits for the benefit and blessing of mankind. When will it happen? How will it come? In the last days. The mountain of the Lord will be established. In the last days, the King who is the branch, the fruit of the land, He will come. In the last days, He will bring His people to repentance, the ancient people of Israel, and through them, world evangelism will take place. In those days of trouble and distress, suddenly the King will come. He will take His throne. Then He will judge righteously. And then all military armaments will be dispensed, and there will be peace for 1,000 years upon this earth. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. Joy to the earth, the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. So in the midst of this prophecy, you have verse 5 in chapter 2, as the prophet says, "Come, come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." I appeal to you this morning in the words of the prophet, "Come, O citizens of Groton, Connecticut area, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Time is running out. The King is coming. All these solutions will ultimately fail. When they say peace and sudden safety, then sudden destruction, says the Scripture. When they think they have all these things resolved, that final great period that I've spoken of great tribulation will break upon this earth. Come. Come. What is prophetic truth all about? Why is it in the Scripture? That we might be drawn unto the Lord. That we might make our lives right before the King. And I implore you and entreat you and plead with you this morning. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every person that has this hope in Him, let him purify himself. Do not resist and do not fight against the goodness of God in your life, which sometimes permit troublous and difficult times. God is seeking to purify you, sinner, to bring you to salvation and cleansing through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God is seeking to purify you, Christian, who are living a loose and careless life, to make you right so that you will not be ashamed before the Lord at His coming. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Gracious Father, it is our desire to walk in the light of who You are and of what You are accomplishing and will yet accomplish, as You at last subdue all creation. All mankind will acknowledge Your lordship. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Glorious Savior, Messiah, King, we look forward to Your coming. We look forward to a resolution of these problems that have never been resolved and never will be resolved until You take the throne, until You judge in righteousness, till Your reign extends from shore to shore. O Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. May we then be a purified people, cleansed through the precious blood of Jesus, cleansed through the application of Your word and the convicting power of the Spirit of God in our daily lives. May we be Your people, sharing Your glory and Your beauty for our world today. We pray in Jesus' name.